Today, the two readings and the gospel are virtually referring to the same thing. Yes, it has a religious slant to it, as it should, but in reality, it is giving us everyday advice on how to deal with people. In our first readings, it is saying to let people talk without interruption, because when they are left to speak freely on their own, they will eventually give you the vision of what they think and where they stand on important issues, especially if there is a topic already underway. When I come into the company of people that I do not know very well, and there is a conversation underway, you will see me be very quiet for a while. Now, I know that seems strange for most of you to think that I might be quiet, but I've had people that know me quite well say to me, "You're being unusually quiet today." What I'm doing is observing the people stand on the present subject. That way I have a better idea of how I want to approach the conversation, if at all. God gives us two ears and only one mouth. So perhaps God was giving us a clue as to how much we should be listening versus talking. And what is talking anyway? Is it the verbal sounds that our mouth makes? Or is there more to it? I believe there is at least three ways of talking, if not more. For example, we can be so busy talking inside of our own head as to what we want to say next that we can't even hear what the other person is saying verbally. This condition of having a conversation in our own head not only affects our conversation skills with other people, it will affect our ability to listen to the Word of God. Whether that being hearing the reading from the Bible or hearing and understanding the homily. This condition of having a conversation in our own head comes down to concentration and can be very hard to master. But we should do our best to control it. There is still another way of talking, and that is in our action, what we do. What you do speaks so loudly, I can't hear what you're saying. Email and texting have very little emotion in them. The recipient of the message has no knowledge of the body language and expressions of the sender. This body language I'm referring to is part of the speaking through action I was referring to a minute ago. Very few people have a good poker face. So when you are conversing with them in person, you can read the other person's facial expressions and body language. When I was a kid, and I seen my father coming towards me with a strap in his hand, I knew exactly what he was thinking. He didn't have to say a word. Although electronic messaging has its place and does have a value, it will never replace eye-to-eye contact with a smile on your face. In our first reading, it says that when a person's words are put through a sieve, the refuge appears. And that is when you get to know what they're really thinking. But the same thing happens when we speak and our own words go through the sieve. The other person will finally get to know who we are, too. I guess we have to think about what that image is. Do we talk like a strong Catholic? Do we act like a strong Catholic? Do we think like a strong Catholic? If we are unsure about that answer, we should look closely at the gospel today and seek out the wisdom Jesus wants to share with us. In one line, Jesus says, "Everyone who is fully qualified will be like their teacher." What does that mean? I look at it from the perspective of an apprenticeship. When I first got into the electrical trade, I was working with a journeyman electrician. I was his gopher. I would go for this, and I would go for that. I was a gopher. But I was watching his every move and asking questions like, why do you do it that way? Why that tool? And so on. Slowly but surely, I was picking up on his experience. After a while, I had accumulated a little knowledge about the trade, and although I could not converse the subject with another journeyman, I was in a position to share something with another electrician who was just getting started. Eventually, as the process carried on, I became a journeyman electrician myself. I was teaching apprentices regularly. So let's look at the gospel and compare what Jesus says about this. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? We are talking about spiritual blindness here, not physical blindness. He goes on to say, will not both fall into a pit? The pit he's talking about is hell. If one person is spiritually blind and yet tries to teach someone else spiritually, they are both doomed. It makes as much sense for an apprentice electrician to teach another apprentice something about the electrical trade when it's his first day in the job for both of them. And the new apprentice isn't qualified to teach the journeyman about the trade either. What does Jesus say? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is fully qualified will be like their teacher. Jesus did not say you had to be just like the teacher before you start to teach. As soon as you learn something about the Word of God, you are qualified to teach someone about that part of the Word. An example would be a parent teaching their child. If we keep both ears open to the Word of God and don't shut the door on learning by not concentrating, we will learn. If we keep both eyes open to read the Word of God and read the commentaries on that Word, we will learn. And if we go through years of spiritual apprenticeship, we will eventually become just like the teacher. But on the way, we will be helping those that are just a step behind us in their own spiritual journey. Becoming a spiritual leader is not a destiny. It in itself is a journey. We are all on a spiritual journey of learning and trying to be like the real teacher, Jesus. I know I will be on this journey for the rest of my life. How about you? Is Jesus your teacher that you strive to be like?